Welcome to the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Red Fox Roto, Dan Thompson, and every Tuesday, of course, I highlight the most important bullpen news from around the league. And so far this year, most of that news has been full of doom and gloom. We've ranged from ninth inning implosions to landscape-altering injuries and demotions. The past week has had its share of those things, but we finally have a week with some good news as a counterweight. Let's start with that. In good news, three big names have either returned or are returning from the injured list. In Atlanta, Raisel Iglesias is due to be activated from the injured list today, if all goes well. Iglesias only missed a couple weeks with mild shoulder inflammation. It's easy to see him picking up a save in his first game back since he didn't miss a lot of time. Now, any closer controversy between Iglesias and Robert Suarez is likely being manufactured by those who roster Suarez and, you know, of course, don't want to see him revert to his ace setup role. But in that role, Suarez will remain one of the few true closer handcuffs in the league. In Chicago, Daniel Palencia returned from his stint on the injured list due to a strained lat muscle. The Cubs have shown some remarkable resiliency as a team during this run of just terrible pitching injuries to both their rotation, where Cade Horton is now out for the year, Matthew Boyd missed some time, Justin Steele has had a setback in his recovery. And of course, the bullpen itself was destroyed for a time while Palencia was on the IL, Phil Maton, Hunter Harvey, Caleb Thielbar, and others. So this team needs Palencia to anchor that ninth inning immediately as they battle to stay ahead in the NL Central. And our last returning closer in Philadelphia, it's Joan Duran. He's set to be activated from the IL today, like Raisel Iglesias. And that would bring an end to a nearly one-month absence for Duran after an oblique strain put him on the shelf. So as a team, the Phillies generated only two saves during Duran's absence. They were both earned by Brad Keller, who has largely been dropped by the fantasy community. The struggling Phillies are, of course, going to welcome back their stud closer, but this team needs to start scoring some runs and winning some games if we want to see Duran achieve a save total equivalent to his skill level. Now, it wouldn't be closers and saves this year without the bad news and more closers heading to the injured list. Where we start in Baltimore, and Ryan Helsley was a surprise addition to the injured list last Friday with dreaded elbow inflammation. And we do rarely see pitchers return quickly from elbow issues. But on the positive side, Helsley's imaging was clean. He could be cleared to resume throwing later in the week. If he's able to do so successfully, he could be back in maybe 2-3 weeks. Anthony Nunez had rather quietly logged the most quality time in the eighth inning for the Orioles, and he really could have been a candidate to take over closing duties. But he's allowed 7 runs, 5 of those earned over his last 3 appearances, and at this point he may not get that chance. Andrew Kittredge had recently returned from his own time on the injured list, and he looked good over his first 3 games. He had 4 strikeouts and 3 scoreless innings. But the Yankees really roughed him up for 7 runs, and he only got 1 out on Sunday. So it doesn't seem like Kittredge immediately slides into a save chance next. So that leaves Rico Garcia as the odds-on favorite for the next Orioles save opportunity. And what Garcia has accomplished this season is really nothing short of remarkable. Over his first 14 and two-thirds innings, Garcia has allowed just 1 hit. It was a home run, which is also the only run he's allowed. He has a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 16-4, The ERA is a microscopic 0.61. The WHIP is 0.34. And because the only hit he allowed was a homer, he sports a perfect zero BABIP and 100% strand rate. So clearly these are numbers that are due for some heavy regression. And when you consider that Garcia is 32 years old, he has a 4.46 career ERA, 20.8% strikeout rate. We want to temper our expectations, but if ever a case could be made for riding the hot hand, hands don't get much hotter than Rico Garcia's has been in 2026. In Miami, Pete Fairbanks was placed on the injured list last Tuesday due to some nerve irritation in his thumb. He missed about 3 weeks with a similar ailment a few seasons ago. Right now, we really don't know when Fairbanks may be able to return. The backup options in Miami are limited. Tyler Phillips recorded a save the same day that Fairbanks was put on the IL, and Calvin Fauché followed with a save the next day. It was Fauché that saved 15 games for the Marlins last season under the same manager, Clayton McCullough, so there's familiarity there. I'd expect that Fauché gets the most opportunities while Fairbanks is absent. And for those who are looking at Tyler Phillips, he has pitched with a lead only three times all season, yet he somehow has two saves. And then he surprisingly threw three innings on 47 pitches on Sunday, entering in the fifth inning while the Marlins were down seven runs. So that's not exactly closer usage, and it should mean that Fauché is the man for now. So that was the good news and the bad news. In other news, in Detroit, Kenley Jansen entered the season needing 24 saves to reach his career milestone of 500 saves in total. Jansen has six on the year, but he's also already blown three, and he has a 6.14 ERA and a 1.64 WHIP. Kenley Jansen was also hampered by, you know, what's being described as a groin abdomen issue. Sidelined him for a couple days this past week. But AJ Hinch did say that on Sunday, Jansen would have been used if needed for a save chance. The Tigers eliminated that save chance by scoring additional runs, but it does seem that Jansen is okay for now. With Will Vest on the injured list, Kyle Finnegan did step up for a save on Thursday, one of the games that Jansen was resting. Finnegan looks like he has been pitching well if you see his 0.54 ERA, but this comes despite a 15.2% walk rate. Still, though, Kyle Finnegan is the second option in Detroit. He's a worthy speculative hold while Kenley Jansen has been kind of battling home runs and blown saves and, you know, a little bit of his own body with the groin ailment on his quest for 500. Finnegan was added in a lot of the NFBC leagues on Sunday, but for now he's really just a hold rather than a closing option. Now to Kansas City, where Carlos Estevez is finally going to begin his rehab assignment. He should be with AAA Omaha. The key to his future will be the radar gun readings. Estevez has outperformed his skills the past two seasons while averaging around 96 with his fastball. If we see anything much lower than that, it's probably going to mean bad news. We've already seen that throughout spring training and that disastrous first appearance of the regular season. So it's all about the velo for Estevez. Lucas Erceg really hasn't been great despite having nine saves, so that chance exists for Estevez to reclaim the ninth inning when he returns, but he just needs to be physically right, mechanically right, and throw in 95-96 again. Now the Angels, the team hasn't recorded a save since Jordan Romano was surprisingly DFA'd last Sunday, and it's kind of hard to speculate on who may receive that honor other than just listing out the possible names. You've got Sam Bachman there, Chase Silseth, Ryan Zephyrjohn, Drew Pomeranz. And if it takes a little bit longer, Kirby Yates and Ben Joyce are on their rehab assignments on the way back. Right now, my instinct is to say that Kirby Yates will get a shot at the primary closer role when he's back, and that Ben Joyce is kind of eased into action after he's had a very long layoff due to a major shoulder surgery. But if we see Yates falter in the ninth, which, I mean, honestly is a likely outcome, maybe Ben Joyce gets a crack at the ninth inning if he pitches well enough. It'll be all up to his performance at that point. Now out to San Francisco, where few teams have taken us on such a wild ride in the bullpen as the Giants under manager Joe Vitello. So Ryan Walker was the closer in March, then he wasn't in April. The Giants actually had no saves for several weeks in April until Eric Miller secured one. And we had finally decided we'd seen enough from Ryan Walker to drop him in about half of leagues. And then he saves two in a row against the Dodgers. So some folks spent big on Walker in free agency to get him back or just to add him. So, of course, in this year of the terrible closer performance and injuries and everything that we've seen, Walker blows two save opportunities in a row. So is it back to Eric Miller? No. He went on the IL with a back strain. Keaton Wynn, is he up next? Nope. He lost a lead in the ninth inning in his second inning of work earlier last week. So Caleb Killian, what can you do for us? Killian takes a loss in extra innings on Sunday night. Can't anyone in this bullpen throw a clean inning when they need to? It wasn't clean, but Caleb Killian did record a save last night. This was despite allowing a leadoff home run to Ramon Laureano. So if you align with the premise that the pitcher most likely to get the next save is the pitcher who got the last save, then Killian is your man right now in that Giants bullpen. And really, if we base it on performance and current health, there are just two options for the Giants in the ninth inning. Caleb Killian has a beautiful 1.13 ERA, a whip of one, nice strikeout rate, 28%. The walks have been high at 12.5%. He has a clearly unsustainable 171 BABIP and a strand rate almost 100%. So his Sierra, that skills independent ERA, about 3.5. And Killian has only pitched with the lead in 4 of his 15 games so far this year. Now we compare that to Keaton Wynn. He has a 2.45 ERA, a lower whip at 0.82. But he also has a lower strikeout rate, but a lower walk rate. His BABIP is also an unsustainable 194, so they've been kind of equally lucky not allowing base hits. And Wynn's Sierra is within 0.04 of a point of Killian's at 3.6. But it's Keaton Wynn this year who has appeared with a lead in 9 out of his 15 games pitched, and has more of those late leverage innings, the team holding a lead in the eighth or later. So both pitchers have been excellent. They both deserve a chance if they're given one, but they've also both been lucky in ways. Clearly appearing with a lead more often and seemingly being more trusted in late leads hasn't worked out in Wynn's favor yet, but it's a possible reason for restraint before we declare Caleb Killian the closer after this first save. So time will tell here in San Francisco, but for those without the time to wait, you need to decide, I have to pick up one of these guys. It is Caleb Killian with the edge for now. Now some quick news out of Tampa. Griffin Jacks is exploring a return to starting. His last two appearances have come as an opener. He's looking to build up a higher pitch count. He's thrown 2 1/3 and 2 2/3 innings in those two games. So if this transition holds, we'll be retiring Griffin Jacks from the bullpen report. Good luck, Griffin. And in Texas, I was adamant after Jacob Junis had that three-save week that he was not the Rangers' closer, and he has zero saves since. Now Jacob Latz has the Rangers' last three saves, but this time it feels a bit different. Now, I've devoted more time and energy to analyzing the Rangers' bullpen than any other this year, because that was a pen where I believe there was an opportunity for one guy to emerge as the primary option. And that means there's fantasy value. And I think it's possible that time has come for Latz. That he's a lefty is really the only negative working against Jacob Latz at the moment. If we think of all the closers in baseball, only Aroldis Chapman and Josh Hader, who of course is currently injured, are left-handers with full-time closer jobs. And even considering guys with confirmed shares of save chances, we've got Tanner Scott, Alex Vesia on the same team, and Brian King in Houston. I mean, that's it. So while Latz might not truly be a full-time closer from this point on, it looks like he may have actually earned that primary saves role in Texas. Now, finish up quickly in Toronto, where Louis Varland is certainly doing his best to seize that closer job and run with it. He has saved games recently in 4 straight appearances, and he struck out 28 batters in 17 innings. 0.53 ERA, can't get much better. K-minus walk 35.4%. That's just downright nasty stuff. So while Varland can't possibly maintain the video game type numbers we're seeing, he really has excelled in this full-time relief role. And those massive triple-digit bids on relief pitchers that rarely pay off in the NFBC Fab Leagues, maybe Varland has a chance to prove an exception to that rule. So that ends our trip around MLB's bullpens for today. I'll be back as usual on Saturday to review the week's carnage, hopefully not too much, and help decide who to target in free agency over the weekend. Until then, this has been the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Let's close it out.